50, the progressive voice of Minnesota, FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. On a Monday afternoon, joined by someone I have not seen in several weeks. Well, I guess only 2 weeks. Sam Turnberg, back on the Monday shift here on AM 950. Sam, it feels like I haven't seen you in like a month or so. How have things been going for you?
Pretty good. It's been a while. Did some camping.
Yeah, where'd you go out to? Montana, you were saying?
Yeah, just barely into Montana, so on the eastern side there, but we did a pretty good job of seeing almost nobody. They have a cool, like, you can get, like, a federal land permit or something, like the Bureau of Land Management. You can camp kind of anywhere near a road there, and so.
That's the place to go during a pandemic where you won't be interacting with anybody.
Right. We basically, once we got there, we didn't see anybody. It was just gas stations on the way in, which was funny. Well, not funny, but we wore our masks, and you almost get these mocking looks because nobody was wearing a mask through the Dakotas and then in Montana.
Oh, sure.
Almost nobody was wearing a mask there. So.
You know, I've run into that situation before where I've gone into grocery stores a couple times and I'm like the only person wearing a mask, or I'm one of like only a few that's wearing a mask. And you almost get this in the back of your head thinking, well, maybe I should take my mask off to fit in, even though you're the one that's in the right. It's kind of that peer pressure thing where it's like you sit there and think, well, wait, why would I take my mask off? I'm in the right, even though everyone else is not wearing a mask. I don't know if you've run into that before when you've been out going to different places.
Not as much in the cities. That's why it was almost so weird when we were going to Montana, because it's like in the cities, I feel like everywhere I go, most people have masks. Maybe a few don't, but for the most part, most people do. And then on our trip through the Dakotas to get in there, and even outstate Minnesota, nobody wearing their masks, and you're almost getting looks like, why are you and wearing them for your protection? Because I come from Minneapolis where there's a lot of people, so I don't want to bring anything I have, so I'm wearing a mask so I don't spread it to them. And they look at you like, ah, mask sheep person.
It's depressing to look at it this way, but you were talking about how mask wearing is more prevalent when you get closer to the downtown area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and it almost follows the exact political lines, because you're correct. When you're shopping or you're out at a restaurant or wherever you're going in Minneapolis and St. Paul or those inner ring suburbs, yeah, you're going to see a large majority of the population wearing those masks. Then when you go out to the second and third ring suburbs, you know, you maybe get 50 or 60% of people who are wearing masks. Then when you're talking about the third and fourth ring suburbs, when you're talking like Eden Prairie, Shakopee, Chanhassen, then you might be lucky to get half, maybe a little bit less than half. And the rural areas, yeah, that's when you're getting to the point where not many people whatsoever are wearing masks. It's kind of depressing to see that that largely does follow along political lines, where the more red slash purple areas you get into, the less mask wearing you see. Although maybe that'll change. Donald Trump was photographed wearing a mask willingly, so I always thought that could be a great selling point for him. He could make mask wearing work if he were to like wear a MAGA mask or something like that. He could just put the MAGA on his mask and make that a thing.
Wasn't he, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he not have it over his nose, though, if I remember right?
Oh, I'd have to go back and look at the photo, yeah.
I thought I saw the photo, and I thought I remember seeing, like, he had it just over his mouth, but his nose was still, so it's like, you can't even wear a mask properly.
Come on, man, baby steps. Right. He's moving there. He's moving. He's at least got the mouth covered up. Yeah, we'll work on the nose in the next couple of weeks. Would have been interesting to see if he came out originally as being all for wearing masks, if that would have gone in the other direction politically, where maybe it would have been left-leaning people who said, I don't need to wear a mask. I would guess probably not, but there are people who are that anti-Trump where they would say, well, he's wearing a mask, therefore I'm not. I don't think that would actually happen, but it would be a thought experiment to go back in time and conduct.
To be fair, I just looked, and there is one image of him where it's not over his nose, but I did find multiple images of him wearing it correctly. So I'll give him credit where credit's due. It looks like most of the time he was wearing it properly, but somebody did catch it, which, fair. I mean, I pull it down to get a breath sometimes, too, so I'll give him credit there.
It depends on, too, which instance he was photographed in, because there was at one point a few weeks ago where he was inadvertently photographed wearing a face mask when I think he was at like a General Motors plant or something, and they required him to wear a mask, and he was very adamant and about not being photographed with a mask on, but someone was able to catch a picture of him. Then this weekend, it was an entirely different situation where I think he was meeting with veterans or military personnel, and this time he was open to being photographed with that mask on. By the way, speaking of masks, I'm kind of waiting for the announcement this week where I'm guessing at some point we probably are going to get some sort of statewide mandate from Governor Wall saying that masks are going to be required in Minnesota. I have no facts to back that up, to quote I was about to call him the late, great Herman Cain. Herman Cain's not dead, though. He's just unfortunately suffering from some coronavirus complications, being that he attended that Tulsa rally a few weeks ago, but he was famous or infamous for the 2012 campaign saying, "I don't have facts to back this up," but back to my original point, I don't have facts to back this up, but I kind of get the gut feeling that at some point this week, we're probably going to see a statewide mask mandate in Minnesota, and it will probably happen during my 2 o'clock show. So if that does happen, we'll try to air that here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Hey, speaking of more COVID news, so as I've been looking at the numbers recently, we are sort of moving in the wrong direction, but of course not nearly as bad as states in the South and the West are. One of the numbers that is a little bit concerning to keep an eye on is our positivity rate when it comes to testing for COVID-19. Right now, our rolling 7-day average is having about 5.11% of tests conducted come back positive. And that is a little bit above what the WHO has as their guidelines for when businesses should remain open. The World Health Organization, which, by the way, we're no longer a part of thanks to the Trump administration, they say the guideline is to keep your testing confirmed percentage below 5%. If you can keep it below 5%, you can generally keep businesses open. Our number is just a little bit above that with our rolling 7-day average, 5.11%, although today's number was a little bit better. We were at 3.5%. For whatever reason, early last week, we were getting some really high numbers where I think last Monday was like 10% and last Tuesday it was 7.3% or something around there. But that's really a number to keep an eye on because we often hear that, well, we're getting more positive tests because we're testing more. Really look at the percentage of tests that are coming back positive. That's a good indicator as to how states and areas are doing with COVID-19. And according to the WHO guidelines, yeah, we're right on the border as to whether businesses should remain open. Hopefully we can at least continue to completely not go in the wrong direction because, as we heard last Friday, if you are a primary caregiver for someone who lives in a nursing home, you are allowed to go and visit those residents in nursing homes and have physical contact with them, which is something that was not allowed prior to last Friday. And also, this was just announced today, people who live in group homes are now going to be allowed to go back to their day services. So no matter what, yeah, we're just plowing ahead on this, no matter what the results necessarily are. But I suppose if that positivity rate climbs more than that current 5.11 it's at, well, we'll have some decisions to make as to what stays open and what would have to close again. But I guess we're at least not in the situation that other states are in the South and in the West. All right, I got to talk about this national news story because this is the big one that's dominated the headlines today, and that is that the Washington NFL football team has decided that they are going to retire their nickname. That would, of course, be the Washington Redskins. Now, when it comes to teams that are named after mascots that are offensive, the Washington Redskins are one team where there's really no gray area, so to speak, whatsoever. I mean, if you talk about some teams that had mascots that could be offensive, I could see in some cases where maybe you could make an argument that those names were not necessarily in poor taste. I'm thinking of like the Florida State Seminoles or the North Dakota Fighting Sioux.
Chicago Blackhawks, I know, were a big one that has been brought up.
Yeah, Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, not saying it's necessarily a non-offensive name, but I know you could at least make somewhat of an argument that the name is not in poor taste. With the Washington Redskins, though, yeah, there's no argument to Wake whatsoever. It's a horrible name. You can look at the history of how Redskins was used as a derogatory term for how people put bounties on Native Americans to have them killed. You can look back in the history books on that and clearly see that that's how the term Redskin came to be. So they are retiring that nickname, but they have not named a new name yet. The one I think they should go with, though, and you've probably heard of this one, I think they should change their name to the Washington Red Tails. Now, if you're not familiar with the Washington or the Red Tails, this was an Air Force unit back in World War II, where, for a little history, during World War II, part of the American military remained racially segregated as black Americans in a number of U.S. states were still subject to Jim Crow laws, which were enacted, of course, in the late 19th century and early 20th centuries and enforced until the 1960s, and they effectively mandated racial segregation in public facilities and in the military. So the Red Tails were formed out of the 332nd Fighter Group and the 447th Bombardment Group of the U.S. Air Forces and owe their nickname to the color of the pilots of the 332nd Fighter Group painted on the tails of their Republic P-47 Thunderbolt fighter aircrafts. And the Tuskegee Airmen, they were also called, had a lot of famous acts because all of these pilots that were part of this Red Tails regiment were mostly black Americans and also those who came from Latin America. So they were black and brown people who served in this military unit, and they had several feats during World War II, including shooting down three German jets in a single day. And they also had the feat of almost shooting down the late Libyan dictator, Muammar Gaddafi, of all things. Kind of a little-known fact about them. You can do your own research on these guys. Look up the Red Tails, but these were definitely some really tough guys, kind of badass fighters if you look at the history of these guys, and wouldn't be a bad name to name the new Washington football team after. Beats the other options. I've heard them float the idea of Warriors, which is not creative at all, and then, of course, you have the Golden State Warriors NBA team, who might take exception to that. They've also floated calling them the Washington Senators, after the old baseball team that used to be in Washington, although Senators aren't exactly popular people, so I don't think you want to be naming your team after Congress people. I mean, we don't exactly want to have the fighting Schumers or the screaming Mitches, so yeah, I don't think we want to be naming them after senators or Congress people. Yeah, like I said, Warriors, not exactly the most exciting name either, so yeah, go with that Red Tails name. That's the one I would at least vote for. By the way, though, the owner of the Washington football team, Daniel Snyder, is going to have to pay to get those nicknames, though, because apparently some guy in Alexandria, Virginia, trademarked back on July 8th pretty much every possible name that Washington could change their name to, including Warriors, Renegades, Monuments, Red Tails, and Radskins. That would be Redskins, but spelled with an A instead. I'm guessing they won't go with that as their new nickname, but this guy in Alexandria, Virginia, his name, Martin McCauley, wish I would have gotten in on that and paid for those trademarks, because you're probably going to be getting quite a bit of money from the Washington NFL team owner, Daniel Snyder. All right, a couple more notes before we hit our break. Governor Tim Walz has issued a proclamation calling for another special session that just convened today at noon. And what that largely means is that the COVID-19 peacetime emergency order has been extended another 30 days, which, to make it relevant to, well, people who are, well, everyday people, rather, well, that means you can't be evicted from your apartment or foreclosed on your home, so you at least have 30 more days where you have protections from that. Walz is urging members to pass a robust capital investment package, a.k.a. the bonding bill, as well as police reform and accountability measures and assistance for businesses impacted by civil unrest following the Memorial Day death of George Floyd. By the way, we, of course, were denied funds from the federal government to rebuild portions of Minneapolis and St. Paul that got burned down. That's despite the fact, as Congressman Dean Phillips pointed out, that Minnesota is the seventh least dependent state on the federal government when it comes to who takes in funds from the feds. But even with us being the seventh least dependent state, yeah, we were still denied funds to try to get Minneapolis and parts of the city rebuilt from what happened in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. And one more note about what's being debated at the state legislature with police reform. And this is going to be an interesting debate that the DFL is going to have. And it's the position on unions when it comes to the police. David Dayen, I remember tweeting this out a few weeks ago, talked about how at some point Democrats are going to have to reassess their relationships with unions when it comes to the police. And already this has kind of come to a head in Minnesota. As this is being reported out of Minnesota Reformer, legislative leaders and the governor's office held discussions throughout the weekend on police reform. And one major sticking point remains, and that's the makeup of the Post Board. Now, here's what the Post Board does. It's an area that parties can't agree on because basically what it is, it's a neutral arbitrator who will decide on appeals when a public employee gets fired from a position, whether that's a police officer or another person who works in the public sector, where you can appeal getting fired. And as we talked about last week, 50% of police officers who got fired got their jobs back because of this neutral arbitrator. So behind the scenes, there is tension from the usually supportive labor section of the DFL to determine how to protect union worker rights while also passing law enforcement accountability reform. And it's an important thing to talk about because I could see Republicans possibly getting on board with weakening this idea of having a neutral arbitrator when it comes to public employees getting fired, because they can say, all right, well, that might weaken protections for police officers, but that could also weaken protections for other public employees, which is something that would be appealing towards Republicans. So that's going to be an interesting discussion as they talk about reform in that area coming up at the state legislature. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break and come on back with more on FYI Politics.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Osprey Wild's Environmental Learning Center has virtual learning opportunities for all ages. There'll be a virtual youth summer camp from July 13th to 17th. Each day will include live sessions with our camp naturalists, activities, and interactive lessons, and is recommended for ages 9 to 15. Campers under the age of 9 can take part with adult supervision. Adults can also find educational materials and webinars on our website and social media platforms. To learn more, visit us at OspreyWilds.org.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for The Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, The Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM 950.
Finding the best foods the Twin Cities has to offer is easy with EatLocalMinnesota.com. Offering the top local and independently owned restaurants, EatLocalMinnesota.com has everything from burger joints to cocktails and fine dining. Cafe Latte's award-winning gourmet cafeteria has reopened to indoor dining at 50% capacity, so come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, they still have online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards at CafeLatte.com. That's CafeLatte.com.
Cafe Latte, located off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. Crooner's Supper Club has two great options this summer for enjoying live music from a safe distance. Their Lakeside Drive-In Concerts, enjoyed from the comfort of your car, and the brand new Lakeside Cafe, with sheltered table seating for couples and parties of four. It's a more intimate, distance-safe way to enjoy great food and top-name Twin Cities performers in the open air. That's Crooner's off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Reservations at croonersmn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So, want to follow up on something we talked about last week. If you remember when I was reading through the transcript of that body camera video of one of the police officers who was involved in the murder of George Floyd, one of the terms that was brought up in that transcript was excited delirium. How one of the officers said George Floyd was experiencing excited delirium. Have you heard this phrase used before, Sam? I've heard it a few times when I've read through police reports or read about actions the police are taking. They're saying that the suspect was going through what's called excited delirium. Have you heard of that before? Does it ring a bell for you?
No, it just sounds like a fancy word to say he was pissed off that he was being beat up by cops, basically.
You're not far from the truth, because I had a caller earlier today point this out. She actually called us on the station business line on an unrelated matter, but we got to talking about this idea of excited delirium, because the police often cite this when they are dealing with suspects in certain cases, and as we saw, they used this term when they were talking about George Floyd. So excited delirium, I should point out, is not recognized by any professional medical associations. No reputable medical organizations, not the American Medical Association, not the American Psychological Association, or the World Health Organization recognize excited delirium as a medical or mental health condition. Now, at least what it's technically defined as on Wikipedia is called agitated delirium, which is a syndrome that presents the psychomotor agitation, delirium, and sweating. It may include attempts at violence, unexpected strength, and very high body temperature. Complications may include, I'm going to butcher this name right here, rhabdomyolysis. Yeah, I'm probably saying that wrong, as well as high blood potassium. But nonetheless, yeah, it's not recognized by any reputable medical organization. But another reason why I bring this up is that often when suspects are diagnosed by an officer with excited delirium, they're given something called ketamine. Now, if you remember ketamine, we talked a little bit about this, I think Matt did on his show a few weeks ago, or not a few weeks, this was probably a little over a year ago.
It was a while ago, because I remember I worked on that
show. Were you on that shift, yeah, where we were talking about ketamine and how this was being administered by the Minneapolis police at way too high a rate, and just the overall terrible effects that ketamine gives you. It's an extremely powerful drug that will completely knock you out. It'll give you the feeling that you're almost dying. In fact, Sam, were you even producing the show where our conservative caller, Randy in Coon Rapids, chimed in and said when he had a medical incident, he was administered ketamine and basically told us he felt like he was dying when he was given this drug, and he was saying that no one under any circumstances should be given ketamine. That was coming from Randy in Coon Rapids, who has administered this thing, just talking about how he felt like he was basically going to die. And here we have the police, who aren't medical professionals, administering this thing when people run into cases of excited delirium, which isn't recognized by any medical association. And even the caller I was talking about a few minutes ago talked about how she was administered ketamine at one point when I think she broke her ankle or her leg after a fall, and she was saying it completely put her like in a different mental state. So watch that term, because we heard about that in the transcript last week, and I kind of glossed over that, but it's not recognized by any medical professional association whatsoever, yet we often hear this as a term that's legitimized by police officers when they're talking about dealing with suspects, saying they are experiencing excited delirium. And as you said, Sam, it just kind of sounds like an excuse to say, well, they're acting crazy, therefore I can tase someone, or therefore I can have paramedics give them ketamine, or therefore I can do whatever else, use extreme physical measures to restrain someone. It's like a made-up medical term, essentially.
And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, I haven't had time to look it up again yet, but I'm pretty sure the young boy, Elijah McClain, I think was his name,
right,
who was murdered by police, was, I'm pretty sure they injected a lot of ketamine into him. And if you heard that transcript of him, there was no threat. Well, he was apologizing to them, saying, you guys are doing great, like, and all this stuff. And
yeah,
so for them to sit there and say excited delirium, they're injecting full of a ketamine is just outright insane.
Yeah, and to refresh everyone's memory on Elijah McClain, yeah, he was a massage therapist in, I believe, the Denver, Colorado suburb of Aurora. He was just walking home. He was stopped by the police because they thought he was a suspect in some case. And if you even go through and read about the transcript of the video that was taken, he was specifically saying, yeah, as you said, yeah, oh, you guys are doing a great job. I'm not a threat whatsoever. I'm a vegan. I don't believe in violence whatsoever. Basically trying to say everything possible that he's not a threat to the police. But as you said, I think they did use that term, excited delirium. They, yeah, administered ketamine. And of course, unfortunately, Elijah ended up dying. So watch that term, and I'm glad our caller pointed that out earlier today because it's not a legitimate medical condition whatsoever. All right, we're going to take a break and come on back. I want to talk about this massive leak of law enforcement information that was just put out a few days ago. A lot of other media outlets haven't been covering this in town, but Tony Webster, who writes for Minnesota Reformer, has been on top of this, and it's pretty disturbing, all this personal information that just got released. So we'll talk about that coming up next.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
I love my wood stove. We enjoy the sense of well-being we get by cutting and splitting wood to warm our home. Wood is our choice, but you may have other choices at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether transforming an existing fireplace or adding something new, a clean burning wood, gas, or electric fire can have you sitting pretty and cozy by the fire. Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, Walter Benjamin and the Reenchanted World.
Benjamin's right. Modernity is terrible, the world is disenchanted, art has lost its magic, and we're all sleepwalking through life.
But there are new forms of enchantment. Art is for everyone, and we can shock ourselves awake. Benjamin said that too.
So will the real Benjamin please stand up?
The life and thought of Walter Benjamin. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
These days, our home is the center of our world. This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. If we're all going to be spending a lot more time at home, doesn't it make sense to make your space the most attractive and most functional space it can be? At Habitation, my experienced, degreed interior design staff can help you select the perfect furnishings for your home and your lifestyle. Furniture is more than one size fits all, and there's more to making a room work than a couple of chairs and a sofa. Whether it's a modular, sectional, carefully selected to maximize your living room, or the perfect bed, dresser, and nightstand combination to create your dream bedroom, Habitation can help you achieve the space you've always wanted. So check us out online at habitationdesign.com or schedule an appointment at our Edina showroom. Habitation Furnishing and Design. Make your home exceptional.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be mostly sunny, the high near 89. While tonight a chance of storms, the low around 70. Tomorrow storms, the high near 72. Wednesday mostly sunny, the high near 83. And Thursday sunny, the high near 85.
The heat wave means it's time to save at Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. During July, get instant savings of $700 on air conditioners, including ductless systems. Be sure to ask about 0% financing with payments as low as $50 per month. Visit standardheating.com.
Hey, keep in mind, Hazel's Northeast is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. Absolutely love that place for breakfast. I've been there a couple of times. Got some delicious pancakes in the pre-COVID times when I went there with my parents. I've also had the Drunken Banana French Toast, which is absolutely awesome. I still got to get over there for lunch or dinner since they look like they have a lot of good dishes for that as well. I know their new hours, or at least the new days they're open, rather, are Wednesdays through Sundays. So make sure you check them out. Hazel's Northeast off 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. Their website where you can make your reservation is hazelsnetogo.com. Those are the letters N and E, not the word any, hazelsnetogo.com. Hazel's Northeast, located off 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. Man, I still got a lot to get to on the show today, but time is flying by. I do want to get to this leak that was just published in Minnesota Reformer by Tony Webster, where we had a lot of personal law enforcement information that got leaked. Also want to talk about this very creepy national security private company called Palantir, which apparently is going public. Also want to be talking about these new rent protections in St. Paul. And if I get time, I got to talk about Howie Hawkins, who is going to be the Green Party nominee for president, as I have some interesting facts about him. So still lots to get to. If I don't get to it all, hopefully we can talk about all of those coming up on tomorrow's version of the show. Before we get into the story, though, about this big data leak with law enforcement in Minnesota, Sam, you were doing some research on that story about Elijah McClain, and you were talking about how, yeah, they did cite in that case that he suffered from excited delirium, correct?
Exactly those words, right.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, media outlets are getting better about not necessarily taking the police version of a story verbatim. I think the AP was, like, reporting on this a few weeks ago, how media organizations are at least getting a little bit better about not just taking police press releases verbatim and reporting them as news, because as we're talking about, there's been lots of weird cases where, yeah, excited delirium is clearly not a thing according to the medical community. Or if you looked at the police report in the Breonna Taylor case, they said she suffered no physical injuries, even though she was shot by the police. So, yeah, more reason why. I mean, you can certainly have those police reports as part of your media report, depending on whatever media outlet you have or whatever media outlet you're running is, but don't just take those verbatim because oftentimes they aren't necessarily accurate. All right, I got to get to the story from Tony Webster over at Minnesota Reformer, also been a guest on our shows on AM 950 several times in the past, who is an expert on data privacy and lots of other topics. And here's what he's reporting. Information on over 9,000 government and industry personnel dating back over 15 years were divulged in a breach of data from IceFishX, which is an intelligence sharing and emergency alert website, which is part of the Minnesota Fusion Center, the intelligence wing of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. We talked a little bit about this Minnesota Fusion Center last week. Like I said, they're the intelligence wing of the BCA. Now, the point we're going to be bringing up with this is exactly what happens when you outsource your data security. But let's continue on with the story. The breach of the data of the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office included the names and contact information of approximately 1,500 first responders, corporate security personnel, and key security staff at sports stadiums, all of whom participate in their SHIELD information sharing program. Names, titles, ranks, employers, addresses, mobile phone numbers, page numbers, email addresses, IP addresses, and more were included in the databases, and some entries noted the importance of some of the members and the sensitivity of their facilities. The stolen data was contained in a Blue Leaks, which is being called the largest leak of U.S. law enforcement data in history, and was published online in mid-June by Distributed Denial of Secrets, which is a team of transparency activists who say they have no political leaning. Now, as of now, several of these agents and law enforcement-affiliated people didn't even know that their data had been leaked. As just for instance, Tony Webster cold-called cell phones of people whose data got leaked, and he talked to an undercover federal agent who said this was the first time he was hearing about the leak. Aside from passwords, the information in the leak was not encrypted, suggesting major shortcomings in the information security practices of both Minnesota state government and, of course, its largest jurisdiction, Hennepin County. The hacked data had been housed at NetCentral, which is a private vendor of both the Minnesota BCA and Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. Now here's some comments from Mark Lanterman, who is the Chief Technology Officer at Computer Forensic Services, and some of these comments are kind of funny in a weird way, which we'll get to in a second. He's also a former Secret Service Electronics Crimes Task Force officer as well, and he said the breach highlights the risk of outsourcing private sensitive data. He says, this shows that you're only secure as your vendors. He said, audits to ensure vendor compliance with security requirements are common in the private sector, but not in the government sector. He said, law enforcement has decided to outsource some of their needs to vendors that perhaps they should have been auditing. There's no such thing as perfect security, and without someone conducting an audit, they're still at risk. Asked what law enforcement agencies should do now that the data has been spread across the internet, Lanterman's response was one word, pray, which I find kind of funny right there. But yeah, that's ultimately what happens when you outsource your aspects of your government agency sometimes. That's what happens when you outsource. You get unsecure data that can easily be hacked, and now lots of personal information has been released out there on the World Wide Web. Hey, also talking about some private security news and also spying, corporate espionage, and so on and so on. This comes out of the Wall Street Journal that says the company called Palantir has filed paperwork with the SEC to begin the process of selling shares publicly. Now, here's what this company, Palantir Technologies, is. They work closely with the federal government to do all sorts of nefarious things, including working with ICE and also being part of very high-profile missions, including reportedly being part of the assassination of Osama bin Laden. But they've been involved in all sorts of spying cases around the U.S. In the 17 years since Palantir's was founded, they've received financial backing from the CIA, and they've become one of the most valuable private companies in the U.S. and earned a seat at the table alongside the biggest tech companies in a meeting earlier this year with Donald Trump. Palantir's stated mission is to, quote, make the West, and especially America, the strongest in the world, unquote. That's a rather concerning mission from the company.
It sounds like a villain mission. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're gonna take over the world.
And just the name sounds like a James Bond villain organization. We're with Palantir. But they are deeply tied in with all aspects of the government. Historically, as I talked about, they've been reportedly involved in helping track down Osama bin Laden. They've been helping with the tracking of the spread of the coronavirus. They also were involved with the Los Angeles Police Department analyzing data ranging from license plate photos to rap sheets, traffic tickets, listings, and foreclosed properties and more. More recently, the CEO and founder of Palantir said they were assisting with finding undocumented immigrants for deportation, with lots of those activities happening through tracking people's social media accounts. So overall, this is an incredibly creepy company that is apparently going to be going public. Now, what that means is kind of interesting to me, because generally when you get these Silicon Valley type companies that go public, it means they might be going through some financial struggles. But in this case, if they have all of these contracts with the federal government, maybe that's not the case. They're just looking to raise even more money. On the positive side, it could mean more transparency with the company. But then again, the federal government would be charged with making sure that the company is transparent. And if Palantir has all of these contracts with the federal government, maybe that won't necessarily be the case, and therefore going public with this very creepy company called Palantir is actually in their best interest, because they can raise even more money and not necessarily be subject to the public scrutiny that other public companies would be subject to, simply because they have their tentacles in just about every aspect of the federal government. So, yeah, another one of these private creepy companies that has their tentacles involved with the U.S. government. And those are the ones that always have me most concerned when I'm talking about, like, data security or the government spying on people. It's not necessarily the government itself that has me most concerned. Of course, it is worrying, though. It's mostly when they contract out to these private companies that that's what really kind of catches my attention, because generally those private companies can operate with even more secrecy than the government, and we're probably going to see more and more of these types of things take place as government budgets are cut, where we'll have the federal government outsource all sorts of what they do, whether it's spying or going back to talking about with this big law enforcement data leak. Yeah, they're just going to outsource all of their security and all of the aspects of what they do, and that's how you end up with these very creepy and very powerful companies like Palantir. We'll take one more break and come on back with the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
During July, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is offering $700 off new energy-efficient air conditioners with payments as low as $50 a month or 0% financing. No doubt that's a great offer, but is it a hot deal or cool savings? Either way, you'll be escaping the latest summer heat wave in cool comfort. Find out more about these great savings on a new air conditioner at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Let's talk about getting your home zero-res clean. To say your home has been lived in these last few months is probably an understatement. Have you assessed the damage? Dirty carpet, food stains, pet accidents? Don't just call the cheapest cleaners because you think you're getting a deal, because you'll pay for it. Call Zero Res with over 8,000 real customer reviews online and a 4.9 Google rating. Right now, get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Resified starting at just $139 when you mention AM950. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake would like to say Pinigigi for all your support these last 3 years. We discuss national and local Native news and events. Weekly correspondents bring us updates and information from all over Turtle Island.
Native Roots Radio I'm Awake is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Saturdays live 1 to 3. Free Leonard Peltier.
Cafe Latte combines a cafe dining experience with gourmet quality food. And right now, Cafe Latte has reopened to indoor dining at 50% capacity. So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to CafeLatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at CafeLatte.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to NickSlavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If you are a member of AM 950, tomorrow we are going to be posting a brand new interview that Matt conducted with Tom Hartman. That's on our member content page over at am950radio.com. Part of our series of interviews that we have with Tom Hartman and others as well. We usually get new content posted there every Tuesday morning, so make sure you check that out over at am950radio.com. And of course, if you have not signed up for a membership, we do appreciate it if you would sign up for one over at am950radio.com, especially if you can make your donation recurring. Let's head to the phone lines and talk to Mark in Fridley, who wants to chime in on ketamine. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, guys, a couple of things, and I can finish up on Palantir for you, too. But ketamine is an animal tranquilizer, like a horse tranquilizer.
Oh, God.
And I don't remember, and it's basically, you've heard of roofies or Rohypnol.
Right.
Okay, this is like professional grade. Ketamine is like professional grade Rohypnol, and it has been used by the police, law enforcement for a very long time, and it's extremely dangerous. There's one above that called scopolamine that basically turns anybody into a zombie, literally. Mm-hmm. You have no recollection, you have no normal thought processes, so ketamine is like super Rohypnol. Now, as far as Palantir, one of the problems that Palantir has is my former employer has all of your personal metadata. Ed Snowden released information on through Prism, which was social network like Facebook and Amazon and Microsoft. It's the metadata that gets you. And Palantir and my former employer, Teletech Holdings in Denver, Colorado, works with healthcare companies like United Healthcare.
Hey, Mark,
healthcare.
Just to back up for 1 second, just in case people aren't familiar, but explain what exactly metadata is, just kind of in layman's terms.
Well, metadata is basically all of the minutia of a person's existence. When they talk about data mining and data harvesting, they're looking at your metadata. They're looking at your behavior. They're looking at your employment history. They're looking about your affiliations and associations. They're looking at your healthcare records. They're looking at your finance records. You know, everybody goes on Twitter and posts, avocado toast. Now, this is the hardcore deep dive. This is the stuff that everybody's paying the big bucks for. And by big, Uber and Facebook, and it's insane. But Palantir is one of those companies, and they were founded by the CIA and InQtel Corporation. But the things, trust me, I'm working with an organization out of New York City and Washington D.C. right now, and there's going to be information coming out because the crap is really going to hit the fan here, and people have to be prepared for that. When it comes out very soon through the Barr and Durham investigations, just how much the length and depth and extent and for how long this type of spying on innocent American citizens has gone on. And the United States government, no matter which party is in charge, doesn't seem to be able to use this technology to go after pedophiles like Jeff Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who, by the way, that should be the number one story everybody's talking about, because we're getting into honeypots, blackmail, and extortion over a period of 20 years, and the Justice Department giving Acosta what they called a stand-down order because he wasn't qualified to prosecute Jeff Epstein, and Jeff Epstein was a member of the intelligence community. So he was told to back off. You know, that's going to be a huge deal. But just the amount of information and data. So the metadata is basically is your DNA of what your behaviors are. They're what you watch. They're who you communicate with. And those are the things that a guy like J. Edgar Hoover many, many, many decades ago wanted on a, you know, a recipe card. He wanted everybody to have their own card, and now they do, but it's digital, it's in the cloud, and we're getting these breaches and hacks. The GSA was hacked, the FBI was hacked or breached. But the things that are coming down the pike right now are going to lay wide open the depth and extent of the vile surveillance, the unconstitutional surveillance. And this goes beyond Mike Flynn. This is every single American. And
the challenge, too, Mark, is, yeah, when this stuff does eventually come through, are people going to pay attention? Because so often we think, well, I guess this happens with both Democrats and Republicans. There's nothing we can really do about it. It's just a way of life right now where we've almost normalized this type of surveillance really since 9/11, where unfortunately, I think a lot of folks are just going to shrug their shoulders and say, eh, well, what can you do?
No, I assure you that won't be happening.
Good.
with the amount. And it, well, it's not good because this is going to.
Yeah,
like
good
I
in
said,
the sense we know. Yeah, yeah, right, right.
This is going to make Watergate look like a parking ticket. And I hate to tell you, Joe Biden is involved in this. And he was aware of this, you know, during what was going on during the Obama administration. And how not only did the Obama administration break its promises to not provide immunity to telecommunications companies and IT companies, and these companies have only gotten bigger, more powerful. And Facebook announced today that we're going to formulate an internal oversight board of people we hire to tell us when we're doing things wrong. Does anybody in the audience think that anybody's going to tell Facebook what they can and cannot do?
Sam feels secure over there.
Yeah, well, no, they're not.
No. No. I could pull up your well, anyway.
I couldn't keep a straight face when you're talking, when you're saying if anyone thinks they could.
But, you know, if we're being conditioned in that fashion by ignoring the information or being fed disinformation or misinformation constantly. And, you know, the media's job is no longer, and people have to acknowledge this as fact. Whatever side you're on, a country full of ignorant, you know, spoon-fed masses that, you know, think that it's going to be either the evil side or the good side, you know, the things that are happening right now are going to
take... Only got a few seconds here, Mark.
Right. But I was glad to see that Joe Biden is aligning himself with Bernie Sanders last week. That still wouldn't make me vote for him until something else happens big. But
we'll have to leave it there, Mark, as we are unfortunately out of time. All right. Matt McNeil is coming up next here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.